The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Mastermind, good afternoon. We're on Man in Line, open line today through till 1 o'clock. So you want to get in touch? Call 66 13 68, text and WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. Just a quick note, did anybody see the Persid meteors last night? It's far too late for me, but I'm just wondering. I'm not seeing any photos or anything online, but what were they like last night? Did you spot the Persid meteors in the eastern sky? Tom dropped me a note and just said, I'm in Farm Hill and I've noticed my MT mobile data has been very poor over the last few weeks. I ran a speed test and got a download speed of just 1.13 megabits per second. By comparison, my Miggy 4G router, which connects to 4G networks in the UK, costs £10 a month for 100 gigabytes of data, similar to other providers, gave me 97.3 megabits per second as opposed to 1.13. That was using a Tesco pay-as-you-go SIM. Could you ask your listeners, has anybody else experienced slow speeds on Manx Telecom? And in general, how's the internet these days? Sometimes it varies, doesn't it? Sometimes it's kind of up and sometimes it's down, or maybe it's my cheap phone. Let's get to the lines now. Betty's on. Hello, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I'm just talking about Manx Care's decision to close some of the beds at the cottage. Well, I have recently, I know personally two people who've had to wait to have beds there. And when I visited the cottage, the beds have all been full. And the other thing is, the people that I know who've had to go to the cottage for care before they went home couldn't easily have got that care at home. So I think this is a decision they've made to save money.
What do you think they mean when they say people are going in the community to get help? What does that mean to you?
I think maybe they might have nurses coming in. I'm not sure. I think a lot of them are just left for their friends and family to look after them. But these people that I went in to see couldn't have got that care at home. So
what would they have had to do if they were turfed out of the cottage hospital and sent home? How would they cope?
I'm not sure, really. I'm not really sure how they would have coped. But the other thing is that I feel that Manx Care, its first obligation is probably to its shareholders, so they don't want to, any money goes first to them.
There aren't any shareholders because they answer to the Department of Health and Social Care, and the interim chief officer, Tim O'Neill, said they're mothballing the beds, not closing them.
Right, okay. Well, I just think it's a wrong decision. I thought Manx Care did have shareholders, so I've got that wrong.
No, it's an arm's length. It's been created by the government, and it was done to split the day-to-day running of health and social care away from politicians, so that they could get professionals running it, and the politicians do the sort of the overarching stuff, the policy and what have you. But you're not convinced by this. So the beds are going to be reduced from 31 to 20. So 11 beds going.
I just wonder, now you've told me that, is that the same with the steam packet? do they have shareholders or
not?
Well,
the shareholder for the steam packet is the Isle of Man Treasury. They're the people who are the shareholders, and the people, the board of directors who run the steam packet, answer to the Treasury.
Oh, well, thank you very much for telling me that, because I always thought that they both of those things had shareholders.
No, the steam packet used to. It used to be a private company, but luckily, I mean, that was an absolute blinder that the government played, which was buying the steam packet before COVID, because if that had been in private hands during COVID, heaven knows what would have happened.
Well, why in that case are they charging so much for people to cross to England? Because this doesn't encourage people to come here.
Well,
the high cost of
Betty, that's the $64,000 question. All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Betty.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. Well, this is the story of you heard. Tim O'Neill and Claire Christian were on the other day from Department of Health and Social Care. So the number of beds at Ramsey and District Cottage Hospital has been reduced by 30%. Manx Care says the demand on the inpatient rehabilitation services has reduced. So they're moving more of the inpatient rehab into the community, resulting in a reduced occupancy and a reconfiguration of Martin Ward. So if you've got any thoughts on this, then, oh, they also said, I think, two social workers from the hospital social work team are now there as part of the multidisciplinary team on Martin Ward, helping to reduce the length of stay by initiating the process of discharge much earlier for patients who need care on discharge. That's that situation. Oh, Robert joins us now on Man in Line. Let's find Robert. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, cut out for a second there. All okay?
Loud and clear.
I remember when we had 56K board modems, Andy. And I remember when, if you didn't connect it right, you could unfortunately leave it connected to the internet service provider for a couple of days without you knowing it. And the phone bill would be astronomical, over £100 sometimes.
So, I mean, is your internet slow?
A lot better now. No, my internet's fine. I'm just on mobile. You know, I don't have landline. You know, I'm just an average Joe at the end of a phone.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm quite happy with what I've got. It's not slow at all. It was a bit slow a few days ago, but I think that was just because everyone was trying to log on.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's okay now. But what I wanted to talk to you about was the Green Living Grant.
Yeah.
Which minister's in charge of green issues these days?
I think the Green Living Grant. I think that's DEFA. I think that's Claire Barber, the minister at DEFA.
Claire Barber. Oh my gosh. How does she square the circle that we're supposed to have a Green Living Grant? I mean, we're getting a bit kind of that. I mean, it's almost like small holdings, you know, kind of get additions of solar panels or wind turbines and things like that and get their act together and start producing a bit of energy for the grid.
Well, actually, I mean, the Green Living Grant, I'm sure, is finishing soon. It's about £5,500 you could get to help your property more efficient.
Right.
So, I think that's going.
I think they're replacing it
with something else.
Yeah, was that mostly the idea of insulation, the walls and things like that?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it started ages ago where you could get a half-price front door and things like that. If stuff was drafty, you could get stuff.
Yeah, I think they're just basic renovations, though, aren't they? I think more people are interested in how you're going to attach solar panels and things like that to your roof and stuff like that. I thought that was where we were headed. And like, I mean, I'm just listening to Youth Parliament of a month ago, or whenever it was, 3 weeks ago, and I'm not really that much into it, but I mean, they did say that, look, we're fascinated by, you know, the ecosystem, and we think that solar panels, it's all a decision whether or not it should be solar panels or wind turbines, top of your roof and things like that. I mean, I know you're not a big fan of it in terms of all of that stuff, but I mean, you know, these kids are growing up and they're the future. So, I mean, the questions do have to be answered in terms of, like, you know, how we're going to proportion this out and if there's going to be a grant in future to endorse that, surely.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it was really to, I think the Green Living Grant was to basically heat your home efficiently, insulate your loft and draft-proof your windows and doors. So it was all about insulation, okay. Really.
Right. So it wasn't really about additions on top of roofs and things like that then?
Well, the Green Living Grant wasn't, no. But, yeah. All right. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for being today. All right. Let's get to Brian, who's with us now. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Andy. How are you today?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, I can't see a thing out of the window, but I'm sure it's fine.
Well, as long as it's dry, that's the main thing. What I want to talk about is... the ex-MHK for Douglas Town, I think, was talking about a referendum regarding the net zero.
That was Mr. Quine, yeah. He said that while we're having a general election next year, they should issue another voting slip and put another voting box in there to have a referendum about the government's net zero strategy.
Yeah, which I think is a good idea. But what I'm more concerned about is... the government's response, where they say a large proportion of the population are in favour of it. I'm just wondering how they found this out.
Well, they've not told us. They said, according to Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture, it's got strong resident support.
Hmm. And that could mean, I mean, I know for a fact, I've never been asked, none of my family, no friends or acquaintances have ever been asked. And this is a thing that is going to cost us an absolute fortune. It's going to saddle future generations with hundreds of millions of pounds of debt. They cannot be allowed to go ahead and just throw that money without consulting the people.
So what do you think? Well, I mean, where should we... Because, Tynwald has committed to our net zero strategy. It's in there. I mean, the policy is on rails. It's just going forward. So, I mean, what do you think should happen?
Well, I mean, when you look at what the UK and the Isle of Man in general contribute to this carbon, we're absolutely... we're not far off there ourselves now. The rest of the world, or a large proportion of the world, they need to come down. If anyone needs to come down, it's them. And maybe when they get a bit closer to us, we could maybe say, right, now we need to be, you know, if we can possibly get any lower. Because it may just be an unachievable figure. And maybe we're at probably, I mean, Britain and the Isle of Man do a real good job at the moment with their carbon emissions. But the rest of the world, especially the big economies, they're laughing at us. Our economies are suffering because of all this money being spent and all this regulation. I think we just need to... We're good enough as we are. We're not big contributors. We need to just sit back at the moment, see how things go, and let's see if any other forms of renewable energy come along. You know, maybe... well, we know nuclear is there. It takes a long time. But before we jump in spending hundreds of millions and decimating our countryside and seaside... let's wait and just see what comes along.
But Brian, what that will mean that the whole policy has got to be undone, and that will only happen through Tynwald, and that will only happen if there is, you know, if there's a policy raised and that's taken up by MHKs and it's voted to basically turn back the clock and basically rip up the policy that we've got.
Well, and you know what? I'd be all for that. The next Tynwald members that come in or elected in, maybe that's something that should be pushed along, where they undo that work until we've got a better feeling and see how the rest of the world is coming along.
So you think, just in order then, what do you think of the onshore wind farm at Eerie Stain in the south? What about that? Should we keep that?
No, I wouldn't, because for one thing, renewable energy, you've still got to have your fossil fuel back up. So why not? We've got loads of fossil fuels, gas and oil, which can last us for quite a while yet. That would give us breathing space to see what kind of other technology comes along. And plus, it's just the decimation. transformation of the countryside. I mean, like probably like yourself, you drive all over the UK. I was up in Scotland recently. They're just hideous things on the hillsides, and I don't think the Isle of Man should go down that route.
And what about the offshore wind farm?
Well, again, you know, we can see the ones from the, you know, we can see the ones out at sea. They're not great, but I think I'd rather have them tucked out at sea somewhere rather than on the land.
Well,
I mean, not just them, it's the infrastructure that goes in, the tons of concrete and steel.
Yeah, the company behind it, this company Ørsted, say that over 35 years it would generate £2 billion for the Isle of Man. £2 billion for the Isle of Man.
Well, no, they say it could, not would.
Right.
And you know as well as I, could often turns into, well, sorry, it didn't work out. I certainly wouldn't rely on that. You know, could is a very dangerous word. Easy to use. It could generate $2 billion. It could generate nothing. I wouldn't rely on that, to be quite honest with you. And if you allow it, and it produces nothing, well, then what have we achieved out of it?
Okay. And what do you say then to the people? And there was a demonstration. There was a march in Douglas recently with the people, you know, with placards saying, step back from climate chaos. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. We've got to cut our emissions. We must go for net zero. What do you say to the people? They're very well-meaning people. What do you say to them?
Well, loads of people have the best of intentions, but doesn't mean they're right. Again, I would say the same to them. Just hold back. We don't know what's going on with the planet, really. We know temperatures are going up. We know there's more rain. Is it just a natural cycle? Is it man-made? I don't know. But we're going to jump in with 2 feet. And if we do that, we could end up regretting it in years to come.
OK. All right. Brian, I appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye now. 23 minutes past 12. David's on now. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. Quickly, I just want to say something there. Tonight on BBC Two at 9 o'clock, there's going to be a documentary on one of our members that's in Elgin Pension and Social Club, and his name is James Fenton. He's a Burma Star veteran, and he's 103 years old.
Wow.
So that's going to be something to listen to tonight. So I hope people tune in, and you know, at 103, you've been around the block a few times, haven't you? Got to say that. Can I just give you an update regarding the community service? Remember I asked for the community service, and I sent you that part of an email that says they're stuck with that. So I'm trying to get on to the minister now.
Yeah.
The people are saying to me that they can't get people to work to be the officers for the community service group out.
Right.
Now, that's a bit of a shame, or a little bit appalling, actually, because if people want to discharge their community service, they've got to have to do some work. And there are things to be done around the island towards, say, local authorities, charities and organisations like that. But if we don't have the people or the government employ somebody to look after them, that's not going to happen. So we're going to miss a trick there. Can I say to you, what's happening with Retina Bay and who is the owner of that? I know the government, we own it, don't we?
Yeah.
But what's happening to it?
Nothing at the moment, by the look of it.
So that's a bit of a shame, isn't it? It's a big building there. We still haven't got anywhere we put homeless people, do we? They keep saying that they got a homeless exercise there.
Yeah.
And do you remember John from, he was put to Ramsey? And I went up with them one time, and I just remember the nurses and the ward people saying to John, you have to go spend your money and go to a hotel. But he was a bit younger, but he was towards retirement age there. But thankfully now, I was talking to him last week, and he's saying, because he lives now in sheltered accommodation, his health's getting back together. And he does thank the people of the Isle of Man to help him. I'm amazed at the local people that do help people when they're struggling and in trouble. And the final thing I'll say to you, remember the surveys that government do? Andy? Yep.
Yep.
Well, we've got another survey that's come out. Now, this is one of our pensions club gave it to me on Tuesday there. I won't tell you, she lives in Onkin anyway, but there's a social attitude survey 2025 gone out. 3,000 of them, right? Now, half the population they've probably gone to have got, not got the internet. But I would encourage people to look at the bottom of the words. It does say, if you want a paper version, ring this number. And I'll give you it if you want to.
Okay.
But the problem is, unless you've got, you've been asked to do it. And, you know, all my life, I've never been asked to do a government survey. So I wonder why I'm being blanked. But what I've done, and I'm a bit naughty, this lady said to me, she'll get the survey and she'll give it to me and we can fill it in together. Now, that's a good way of going forward.
Well, there we are. It's teamwork. That's what it is.
Yeah. And do you remember all the surveys we had, all the questionnaires we had of the DOI?
Yeah.
Did we ever get any of them out?
Never heard of those. Never heard what happened. These are the ones that were sent from England.
Well, yes, there was two sets sent from England. Remember, what's his name, that was in the DOI? He put one out as well about heavy goods vehicles, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what happened to that.
Yeah, well, I wonder, and I've just got to tell you, and I want to talk about, I might do it on Friday, actually come back on and talk about their wind turbines and stuff like that. And I'm just going to tell you, my solar panels are making 1.5 kilowatts. And my battery, I've got a storage battery that's in the garage there, 44% full. So I'll be, I'm not using any electricity. So John Wanningberg will be crying if he's listening, or the MEA will be crying because I'm using my panels. And I was just going to ask you, how are you getting on with yours? Have you
I think we made £165 last week.
Did you? Well, yeah. I'll tell you what. But how many? This is lovely, this stuff. You need to get one of these. It's the app. Right, now, I've saved, since it started, equivalent to 5 trees, and my CO2 emission savings is 174.5 kilograms of energy or CO2 that I've saved. Yeah? Where can you get all that stuff and all these other charts that are flashing up and down,
wow,
saying they're green? And I'm working for my panels are working for me.
Well,
and thank you, Live Electrical.
We'll call it Quirk's Quota. Thank you.
See you, boy.
Bye. 28 minutes past 12. And Sue's with us now. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Andy.
Yeah.
Robert was on earlier about the Green Living Grant Scheme, or you were talking to him about the Green Living Grant Scheme.
It's gone, hasn't it?
Well, it finishes the 30th of September this year.
Right.
And that's when you need to get your claim in for it. We used the Green Living Grant Scheme and it helped us improve our double glazing, and it gave us a little bit towards having some solar panels fitted as well.
Right.
So you get about £5,700 in total towards that. You get 50% on anything that costs over £1,000. And then so much towards any improvements that cost less than £1,000. Can't remember what the percentage is on that. It might be about 10%. But it does help you towards that. It doesn't give you the full value of what you're spending, so you do have to put an amount towards it.
Well, the dog's very happy with it anyway.
Oh, he's a nutter. He just barks all the time. But, yeah, it does help. And it's like David there was saying, when you've got your solar panels, when the sun's shining or when it's light enough, you do generate electricity. It might not, you know, like over winter, it might not be all of the electricity that you're using, but you are self-sufficient to a certain degree with your electricity. So your electricity bills do
increase. You worked out how long it's going to take you to break even on the cost of the solar panels and how much you save?
No, I haven't, because I'm not that sad. but, you know, I mean, because we did get a certain amount towards solar panels, and because we were given an amount towards improving our double glazing and everything, then our house is a lot more efficient than it was when we moved in. So we are making a saving on our electricity, and it does help us. I mean, I still pay a monthly amount to the MEA, but it helps us then have a more of an amount towards our winter costs.
And does the house feel warmer?
Oh, we're in quite a good house anyhow. It was only built in there, like, and built about 40 years ago, I think, so it was quite good anyhow. But it was just that the double glazing did need doing, and we thought while we were doing that, we might as well go down the route of getting the solar panels done, because the garden faces the right way, or the house faces the right way to have the panels being efficient.
Okay.
But that's the main thing. I mean, you've got to have your house facing the right way to make those solar panels efficient, because if they can't accommodate, or your roof can't accommodate the panels, if you like a north facing or anything, then you're not going to get enough of the sun or the light to be able to generate enough. So
I've seen
online is that the Green Living Grant scheme ends at the 30th of September, and then DEFA are introducing another one
next year.
And it doesn't say. It just says it's going to be taken over by DEFA.
Right.
And we heard that will include a grant towards batteries, because batteries for solar panels, I mean, you're talking about 9-10 grand for a battery.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is an awful big layout, and David must have an awful lot of money to be to be able to buy a battery as well as his solar panels.
Oh, he didn't say he bought it straight away. All right, Sue, good to hear from you. Thanks for that.
All right, then. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for bringing us up to date. Renewable energy company Ørsted says it hopes that you, Manx residents, will be proud of having a wind farm which it hopes to develop off the east coast of the Isle of Man, from Laxey up to Ramsey. The Moor Vannin site will sit between 6 and 12 miles offshore within the Isle of Man's territorial waters. Meanwhile, the company is exploring two options around bringing the power generated to the Isle of Man, either through a direct cable from the wind farm or connecting it to the UK grid, with an option for the Isle of Man to then buy it from there. Project director from Ørsted is James Baldwin.
We will be kind of recouping the huge construction costs. I mean, we estimate this construction cost will be in the region of £4.5 billion. So as a company, we kind of recoup that a number of years later. So we'll be looking, obviously, to make sure that it pays for itself at the very least, and that we make a reasonable margin there. I think it's fair to say offshore wind, it is a much narrower margin, which is good for consumers. I think it's less about what we would prefer. It's really about two things, really: what the Isle of Man government, in combination with Manx Utilities. So what we've done is we've put in our planning application a cable route coming back to the island. So we are future-proofing that opportunity to provide direct power, to provide enough power for the whole of the island. There are some regulatory challenges to how that's done, which involve both the UK government but also the Isle of Man government. And really, that's the reason why we can't be, at this point, we can't commit 100% to say this will happen. But if that is what the government and Manx Utilities want to do and the island wants to do, then we will do that, and we will pay for that cable back to the island. What's the alternative? I mean, we need energy, we need electricity, currently dependent on a aging gas power station on the island and an interconnector to get energy from the UK and pay for that. So this is an opportunity to take control, really, to own and to benefit from generating electricity within the Isle of Man waters. So yes, you will be able to see them, you know, wind farms, modern day wind farms are big structures, but we want people to be proud of them, to recognise that there's benefits, real tangible benefits to this as well. So I think it's also important to say that there are proposals outside of Isle of Man waters that come right up to those territorial waters already being planned, for which the island will see no direct benefit. So this is the opportunity for the island really to get the full suite of benefits that come with that.
James Baldwin, now what do you think about this? And they're talking about £2 billion. £2 billion over 35 years. That's what the company planning to create it say it will generate for the Manx economy. Over 35 years, £2 billion is... Oh, crikey, it's £57,142,857.14p per year, that is. over 35 years. And what do you think of ex-MHK Paul Quine's idea that if we're having a general election next year, which we are, on Thursday the 24th of September, we should actually bolt on a referendum on the side and have another box and another piece of paper that says, do you agree with the government's net zero policy? Wouldn't cost that much more money, would it? Because everything's being done for a general election anyway. So all the returning officers, all the tellers, everybody will still be there. They'll have all the venues. What do you think about this? Good idea or we've decided anyway? Any thoughts? Oh, Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Very well, thanks. Yes, I can't see outside, but I'm told it's a nice day.
Oh, right, yeah, it's a bit overcast, but it's nice. Yeah, a bit warm. And just following on from what Brian was saying, we're constantly told that renewables are the cheapest way to generate electricity. That's what they're saying, isn't it? Which begs the question, the UK renewables auction round 7, commonly known as AR7. So the important yardstick figure to remember is the current price the UK wholesale electricity generated by gas power is in the UK. So the number to remember is £73 per megawatt hour. So 73. And that includes carbon taxes that are being heaped onto gas turbines, as you know, that they've got this extra tax. So even after all the taxes, it's 73. So the auction round 7 recently offered onshore wind farms £95 per megawatt hour. So that's 30% more expensive than what gas generation is. Fixed bottom offshore wind, so the ones that are strapped to the seabed, like Morvannon, £131 per megawatt hour. That's 80% more expensive than the gas. And if you're looking at floating offshore, which are those ones 18 miles east of Aberdeen that broke after about 6 years and had to be towed back to Norway, they are an eye-watering £236 a megawatt hour, which is 223% more than gas. These figures for wind generation don't include curtailment fees to turn them off when there's too much, say at night and they're generating and everyone's asleep. You've got expensive synthetic inertia that we've talked about. Now then, the Isle of Man, for example, FOI number, and I've mentioned this before, 396-3453, backs this up. The average cost of electricity received down the interconnector is £176 per megawatt. So that's what we pay wholesale to get it from England. But Paul Rose is around £90, not £176. And if you want to check that FOI number is 411-4917, 411-4917. So we're paying half the amount, more or less, to generate it from Paul Rose, and the UK's latest auction round, onshore, is at least 30% more expensive, and offshore, like Morvannon, is 80% more expensive. Now, we've got another side to this, because Ørsted appears to be doing some kind of a big sales pitch at the moment. Eddie's called in a few times on the Manning line, worried about the potential problems of flooding in the Colby River if Cairvy wind farm goes up at Eerie Stain. So people need to look for the news headline titled "Fury over ecological disaster at $10 billion Ørsted offshore wind project." This is off Hornsea 3. So this is Ørsted being accused of contributing to an ecological disaster with its onshore cable works at the £8 billion Hornsea 3 wind project off East Anglia. A Professor Carl Sayer, who's a professor of geography at University College London, says he is broken, as he's lived there all his life and used to fish there. The silt that's been displaced during cable works has destroyed the 17-kilometre long River Glaven, which he previously described as clear as gin, and is now a permanent brown quagmire, destroying the natural habitat, including rare crayfish species. So we've got this kind of sales offensive at the moment from Ørsted, but just have a look at that at the moment. They're up in arms in East Anglia about this.
So what do you think to Ørsted's claim about the £2 billion?
Well, let's put it this way. 57 million a year. Well, By the time it goes in, we'll be paying well over $400 million a year in Manx care. So even if it was in now, it would be an eighth of the over the amount of money that's costing us at Manx care is pretty eye-watering. I mean, considering we've got the population of Chester and, you know, things like, yes, we have helicopters and AirMed, but we've had those for years. So they've been a fair constant. It's really the overhead on that hasn't gone up as much as as anything. And, you know, this is the point. We're being told that renewables are cheaper. Well, how can the auction round that just offered them 30% more than what it cost to make it from gas? You okay. Can go look it up. AR7, auction round 7.
All right. Julian, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Andy.
All right. So what do you think about Paul Quine's suggestion that there should be a referendum? Whether you are a net zero believer, disciple even, a net zero skeptic, or just ambivalent, just want electricity and not really bothered where it comes from, you just want it as cheap as possible. Do you think this is, because many people say, look, for all the people that phone Man in Line and email and what have you and just say they don't believe it, some people just say, well, it's just the shy believers. The people who believe in net zero and believe that the government's doing the right thing don't bother because, I don't know, maybe they just think they're right anyway and they can't be bothered to get involved in the discussion. So is that one way of actually sorting the whole thing out and just say there are some people who disagree with the government's policy, there are some people who believe it? So Paul Quine's saying, tag on a referendum with the general election next year and let's find out.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
The Isle of Man Creamery, famous for the freshest Manx milk, dairy products, Noah Bakehouse treats and more, has now made ordering deliveries even easier. Simply download the Isle of Man Creamery Doorstep Direct app and you're ready to order. Reschedule deliveries, see your order history and request invoices. Treat your taste buds in a few taps. Get info and add to your order now at isleofmancreamery.com/delivery or visit your app store to download the app now.
Ellen Vanin Fuels promotes road safety and would like to thank their customers for their understanding about restricted access and deliveries on and around the mountain course during this year's Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT. Safety first with Ellen Vanin Fuels.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Back pain, neck pain, headaches, joint pain. At Align 4 Life Spine and Posture Clinic, we've been helping Manx residents for 15 years with our holistic, evidence-based care and therapies. Plus, we're now open Saturdays to make it even easier to see us. Visit our brand new website at align4life.com or find us on Facebook for opening hours and more information. Align 4 Life, 15 years serving the community of the Isle of Man.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
16 minutes before one. Here's Mark now. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Andy. I just wanted to just comment on the Moore Vanin Wind Farm about the, what did you say, 56 million a year?
Yeah, now, $2 billion over 35 years.
35 years, which is a travesty. Whoever's agreed that in the government, they need shooting. So basically, if you had the same size wind farm or area circumference with the same amount of turbines in the UK, Ørsted would pay the UK government between £160 to £195 million per year. Now, with that, they get a subsidy back from the government, a contract for difference. So the only thing I can think of is why the government are offering it so cheap in terms of revenue is that they're basically getting it for a discounted rate so that Ørsted don't have to pay the UK government in order that the UK government can then subsidise back to Ørsted. So it's a really poor deal and they're very woolly about it. I know there's been a Freedom of Information to cite the original Dong Energy Agreement, which was formerly Ørsted. That's been refused, whereas previously the Kroger agreement was fully cited. Now, the thing that people have to get their head around with this is that if Ørsted's agreement stays as it is right now, we're not going to be able to develop the gas field. And the reason for that is that I understand, and this is not fact, but I understand from a very close source that Ørsted have signed an agreement with the Isle of Man government that the government will be responsible for all cost consequences if there is a development of the gas field. Now, if you remember, the gas field was actually the Ørsted wind farm. The license was issued about 1 year before, 1.5 years before the gas field. So if you sign up to Ørsted, you're not going to be able to develop the gas field. It's as simple as that. And Ørsted have also, the government tried to, Kroger's dead and buried, but any future gas developer will not sign up to it because the government were trying to force the Kroger to sign a cooperation agreement, which would basically mean that Ørsted have all the power and can dictate to any future gas operator what the cost of consequences are for operating in the same territorial waters. That's completely non-normal because basically what normally happens, you go to an independent arbitrator in the UK, which is the North Sea Transition Authority, and they appropriate the who pays what if you operate in the same waters. It's not a big deal. It happens all the time in the UK. Anyone going on the steam packet will see the gas fields and the wind farms operating in the same area. It's very normal. The Isle of Man government has signed up to a non-standard agreement, and everything since then has been a cover-up. And luckily, our Tim Wald, or unluckily in the Isle of Man population's terms, 75, I think Stu Peters said on Manx Forum, 75% of Tim Wald members are against extracting gas from our waters, which is a travesty. And it's just, anyway, they're the facts. I pay very close attention to it because I'm in the offshore sector myself. And it's just an absolute ridiculous situation. My personal view is I'm for wind if we make enough money from it, which we're not. £56 million a year is a ridiculously drop in the ocean. And I'm for gas. But the government has stuffed up and they're not coming clean, but they're being protected because all the green woke MHKs that we have just couldn't give a damn. And they just think, oh, wind is wonderful, gas is bad. Well, I'll tell you, gas is going to be around for 50 years. Sorry, I've been on my soapbox there, Andy.
No,
I do apologise.
No, I appreciate that. So why do you think then that that person said that 75% of people in Tim Wald are against gas? On what basis would you think?
An ideology.
Oh,
it's a pure idea. They've signed up. It's not because most MHK don't know this level of detail and haven't been bothered to actually drill down into this level of detail with regards to what's going on in the DOI and how the DOI are covering their arses. But the fact is, most of them are signed up to a green ideology and thinking, Ørsted's a wonderfully big company. They're going to pay us billions of pounds. Well, £56 million a year over 35 years is not very much.
Okay.
And I saw another interesting comment. Someone said, well, is that 2 billion inflation? Is that as of now? Or is that actually 2 billion over 35 years, which in real terms, that's what, 400 million as of today? There's a lack of clarity here. And I think the planning permission for the wind farm is next year, which will probably have the new administration. So it's a key political issue. And you need to talk to MHKs because Ørsted means no gas field, as simple as that. And all the ministers either they're not looking into it and they haven't actually probed with the Department of Infrastructure, who signed up to this, back from Phil Gorn, back from Tim, the other MHK, back to Alf when he was the minister. I don't think they bothered to look into it. Why the DOI are covering their arses here?
What do you think? I think you meant to say covering their backs. What do you think of former MHK Paul Quine's idea for a referendum in parallel with the general election?
I think something like this should be a massive issue. Now, the issue we have, obviously, and it's a generational thing, is that not everything can be done online because a number of Let's say if you're 65 plus, you're not going to be on Facebook, probably, I would say. So you can't do it online. You can't listen to all the nonsense on Facebook most of the time. It has to be a referendum. And I think having a tick box exercise with some very specific questions would be a great idea. And and you know, most of the MHKs, when they were voted last time, they're all stood up for, it's green, it's lovely, but it's costing us money and it's preventing us from making significant money. Like, we can become a mini Norway, get the gas in, we've got loads of money, then we can, you know, make a decision on you know, what we do for green energy later on. Like Brian said, we don't have to be leaders. Why the hell are we leaders?
Okay, all right.
We don't have to be leaders.
Okay. No, I appreciate it, Mark. Thanks for calling today. It's good to hear from you at 9 minutes before one. If you got any thoughts on this, text, email, call, WhatsApp.
Corkill Removals and Storage today. Loads big and small day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer. Yay! Your movers are here. They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call
675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
Above deck or below, Harbour Marine Services has all your boating needs in one place. From engine sales and servicing to charts, books, dinghies and trailers, electronics, navigation, ropes, rigging and safety. Over 2,000 square feet of stock to help you stay safe on the water. Call 822-995 or find us on Facebook. For all your chandlery supplies, set your course to Harbour Marine Services next to Castle Down Harbour.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Isle of Play helps children reclaim their childhood. We run play sessions, forest schools and are the island's only adventure playground, helping children island-wide to have the best childhood possible. Do you want to help us raise funds and reach more children across the Isle of Man? Visit isleofplay.im or message Isle of Play on Facebook. Let's make childhood playful and play-filled for every child.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
As our loved ones age, they carry not only the memories of the past, but also the uncertainties of the future. Secure tomorrow today, with Man Benham's guidance on enduring powers of attorney and more.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Release the need to do everything well. You were great today. You did enough.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Let's relax further and imagine a long stroll on a sandy, starlit beach.
Peaceful slumber and relaxation.
It's a balmy August night, and you are walking barefoot along the water's edge.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thank you, Hannah. This morning I was walking towards Signpost, and you can see how the footpath looks. It's very, very untidy. It's not very nice. I don't know who's responsible for cleaning this, which commissioner's responsible, or the people who live by. But anyway, the pavements around Signpost are just very, very cluttered. Lots of vegetation and what have you. Thank you for sending me the pictures. Good to hear from you. Thank you for... Have a nice day. Have a good programme. Thank you, Hannah. Good to hear from you. Back to the... Oh, a note in from... this is 882. Says, Andy, mothballing or temporary closure. Saw it in the UK when wards don't open. Odd decisions and questionable planning at Manx Care, e.g. training more nurses on the Isle of Man. But will there be reserved jobs for them, or will the jobs go to newly qualified UK nurses or doctors, as they can't get jobs over there now? Busy show today. Here's Pat. Hello, Pat.
Hello there. I'm grateful to the previous caller for clarifying about the gas and electricity and gas and wind farms, are there?
Yeah.
I had wondered, since I look out over Laxey Bay towards Macold, whether or not you could have both, and I think that's been well and truly answered. However, my point was, I would just like to pay my gas, electricity, phone, road tax, road licence and rates bill at post office. And currently I do so by taking the appropriate bill and getting it deducted straight from my pension. So then I have my pension cash to take home with me. And I think this government is actually killing off communities throughout the island, with his attitude along with the banks and now the post office, of saying you've got to do everything online or go to a bank, your high street bank, which basically only Douglas Ramsay and Port Erin have even any bank at all now. I believe it's absolutely appalling attitude. I tried last week to change, or the week before, to change my phone bill, just to get the phone bill on email instead of paying an extra £4 to have it sent to me. The result was I was hacked, and it caused huge problems with loads of people phoning me to tell me my account had been hacked. This was just a straight Manx Telecom query, and that is what happens by relying on services being paid online. And they seem to think that old pensioners can cope with having to either travel or do payments online and put themselves at risk. The government just don't care. They only advertise the fact when huge amounts of money are lost by people. But when you just get people being asked, as we were, for £150, I didn't pay it, and I hope no one who was contacted through me being hacked paid.
And did
it
you
either.
Did that get sorted, Pat?
It did. I had to phone the police. They were very good. So eventually got through to the hacking section. I couldn't email anyone because the hackers had taken my name and given it a slightly altered email address and were intercepting all my messages to try and get out to tell people. I had people phoning me constantly. I was on the mobile on one ear and the house phone on the other. Trying to get it sorted, and then Manx Telecom I eventually got hold of, and they sorted it and cut out the hacker side of it.
Good. All right, Pat. We appreciate it. We're out of time, Pat, but thanks for getting in touch, and thanks for that message to the government regarding the post offices. Busy show. Lot we didn't get to, so back tomorrow at high noon. Thanks to Alex on the phones today. Enjoy your Wednesday.
WINT